This is All India Radio. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on Prime Minister's message at the World Economic Forum in Davos, India and Global Supply Chains. The participants are Sharad Kohli, economic analyst, and Ruchika Chitravanshi, journalist.
Prime Minister Narendra Modi on Monday addressed the World Economic Forum's Davos agenda through a video conference speech. And in his speech, he's talked about a lot of pressing issues, whether it be COVID or climate change or cryptocurrency and reforms. And he's talked a lot about how India is a very good investment destination and what all the government is doing for the ease of doing business. A lot of these things that PM has touched upon. Mr. Kohli, what was your biggest takeaway? And also, if you can put some context to the time at which Mr. Modi's address is coming, because global economy is reeling under pressure, we are still not out of the pandemic. What is the significance of some of the things that the Prime Minister said in his address?
The biggest takeaway for me is the long-term vision with India as an investment destination, which the Prime Minister has shown. So I think this is the time when the world, as you rightly said, is going through a very tough time. Pandemic has spread through the world and it has been 2 years now and the consequences have been devastating, not just for human life, health. But direct collateral, I would say, is the economy. And I think this is the time when all countries around the world are trying to find ways and means as to how to overcome, how to get past this whole problem, and how to economically survive and thrive. So I think India has shown that spirit, unleashing that spirit, I would say, where I remember in 2020 when Prime Minister said that making an opportunity out of the crisis. So I think that is what the Prime Minister's speech was aimed at, that there is crisis, but let us try and make the best out of the situation that we are in. There's nothing much we can do about it as far as the health crisis is concerned. I mean, vaccines are there, hospitalization is there, whatever best is being done. I mean, there's nothing much which the governments can do beyond what is being done right now. But what can definitely be done is that you can try and make it as an opportunity and try and reshape your economy. And in 2020, when this pandemic came, the announcement of Atmanirbhar Bharat Abhiyan was the first step. And I think Prime Minister has glorified, has emphasized on the self-reliance, as he called it in Davos. So I think the self-reliance was the focus. Long-term vision was the focus. India is a 25-year forward vision that people should look at. Because see, any investment, Ruchika, when it comes to a country, you always give it a long-term perspective. No investor wants to invest in a country which is unstable, which has got a short-term vision, a country which doesn't show you a direction in the longer term. So I think Prime Minister emphasizing on the 25 years vision, I think was the key. And any investor should get comfort and should feel good about the fact that whatever money they pump in, whatever form they bring in the investment, I think 25 years vision is a huge comfort for any investor.
One of the big headlines that has come from PM's address is that he said that this is the best time to invest in India. And as you rightly said, that obviously he's talked about following the path of self-reliance. But he said at the same time, we are also working on incentivizing investment and production. He's talked about the PLI schemes that have been implemented in 14 sectors. As an economic expert, do you see it as indicative or as a sign of things to come that will India do more to invite foreign investment into the country? Do you see more steps being taken towards this direction, given what PM has said at a global platform?
Ever since the pandemic struck in March 2020, although the government was already in a reform mode from the time it took over in 2014, but ever after the pandemic, I think this whole process was speeded up. And be it Atmanirbhar or be it any other agenda which was taken up at that time, I think converting the crisis into opportunity became kind of a motto of the government. And reforms was an outcome of that. It was also an outcome. It was also a cause. It was also a reason. You can call it whatever. But I think reforms have been forthcoming. They have been brought in one after the other. I mean, if we start counting reforms, we can probably burn away the rest of the time in discussing only the reforms. But I personally feel that reform is the only way for this country to go forward. If this country wants to become a developed world from a developing world, I think it will have to go for reform, undoubtedly. And I think the government is quite committed to that. And we can see in the times to come, we have a budget coming on 1st of February. Well, people are looking forward to that budget because budget is again coming at a time when country is going through the pandemic. So I think reform is the way forward. And this is again gives a lot of comfort to the investors because a country which is, whether it is labor reform, whether they are land reforms, whether they are ease of doing business, whether it is currency related reform, whether it is trade related reform, I think whether it is taxation related reforms, I think the list of reforms, as I said, is endless. But then for an investor, if I'm an investor for that matter, I would get a lot of comfort in the fact that the country is in a reform mode. And if my investment for any reason is facing a challenge or I've got a problem in some sector, dealing with some government department, fulfilling a process, I think I would feel relaxed the moment I find that government is in reform mode. The government wants to attract investment, and any government for that matter, which wants to attract investment, has to be in the reform mode and has to bring about reform, which is what the government of India is doing.
Very interesting. You also touched upon the upcoming budget because the Prime Minister has talked about reducing our corporate tax rate to make the businesses more competitive and promoting the ease of doing business. But a lot of other important things that he has talked about, and if we talk in context of the COP summit as well, he has said that India constitutes 70% of global population, but takes a power commission of only 5%, and its effort for sustainable development is 100%. Can you tell us a little bit about what PM has talked about and what is India's position, especially with the commitment of the net zero target by 2070, when India's growth will be clean, green, sustainable, reliable and all?
When India announced 2070 as the target, I think it took the world by surprise, and a pleasant surprise for that matter, because for India, having made that promise, that because it's not easy to be carbon free, to have zero carbon emissions, I think it is some of the best countries around the world, some of the most developed countries around the world, did not have the courage to make a commitment of that sort. So with this kind of statement coming from India, I think it was a very welcome news for the world. And the world, I think it made a very positive impact on the world as far as India is concerned, that a country which has got almost 1.4 billion people and which is still primarily at this point of time dependent on coal and some of the other fossil fuels and customary energy sources, is making a commitment. And I think the government has already moved in that direction. I have a feeling that we should be able to achieve this goal. The speed at which the government is putting forth those reforms and taking decisions in that regard, whether it is green energy, whether it is anything related to climate, I think we can easily achieve that objective at least 10 to 15 years before 2070. So I would say that 2070 seems to be the outer limit, but the speed at which the government has committed itself to the reforms related to climate change, related to carbon emissions. Look at what is happening in the world of automobiles, for that matter, where we use petrol and diesel. The speed at which the electrification of vehicles is happening. I think in the next 5 years, you will probably see half the vehicles on the road running on battery. So I think which is going to be a huge positive impact on the environment. So I think India has got a very, very achievable target, and I have a feeling that we will achieve this sooner than what has been committed. Another aspect, Ruchika, which I would like to touch, which Prime Minister said during the Davos address, was about the pharma industry. I think with India being the third largest pharmaceutical manufacturing base, I think it showed the commitment of the country. Well, not many people knew that India is such a big pharma producer until the pandemic came. Of course, the people who study, people who are experts, people who follow the sector, they knew. But I think aam janta did not know that India is such a big pharma supplier. So third largest pharma producer in the world, having saved millions and millions of lives around the world and supplying pharmaceuticals at prices which are unmatched and the quality which is unmatched. So I think India's supremacy, India's comprehensive leadership in the world of pharmacy has been reestablished, has been restored. And I think the world is now looking at India to not just for communal harmony, not just for brotherhood. The world is looking at India for health reasons as well, I think, which is a huge takeaway from this speech. And I have a feeling, and there was one more aspect which I thought Prime Minister did touch upon a little bit, but maybe not, but which is India becoming world's biggest defense supplier. We can see manufacturing on the defense products is going to shoot up like anything. And from a time when we used to import defense equipment, we are going to become exporters. And we've already started receiving orders from the third world countries where some of our missiles like BrahMos and all that are being welcomed, and they've been greatly appreciated around the world. So I think India's self-reliance, India's giving away dependence on so many things was the focus of the Prime Minister. And of course, inviting investments from the world that come, this is the right time for you to invest, because soon after this pandemic settles down, Ruchika, I can tell you with conviction that India is going to be the fastest developing economy in the world for many, many years to come. No other economy, including China, I can say it with a great confidence, because we just heard China GDP numbers. They have slowed down in China. Pandemic is just beginning to pick up again. So in the next few years, I think India will throw behind China and other developing economies to become world leader. And that is when the whole world is going to look at India.
One of the things that PM has talked about was the launch of the PM Gati Shakti Master Plan, which integrates infrastructure development implementation, seamlessly connecting goods, service and people. Now, this is also a very big incentive for investors to come into India, because one of the big challenges is the logistics. And if we are able to do this, then that will also attract a lot of investment. Mr. Kohli, where do we stand with this plan right now? What are the challenges that might come in our way? Because we need to also have a bit of a balanced view on what is it that India needs to do in these areas going forward.
We are a federal structure and we have a central government, we've got state government. So the biggest challenge sometimes that the country faces when you launch these infrastructure projects, let's say an infrastructure project goes to Punjab or Rajasthan or some of the places which are not ruled by the same political party who's in the center. So we do see these political challenges. There are some obstructions which are faced. The clearances take time. The whole idea of launching Gati Shakti was to have a coordinated effort where this whole national infrastructure pipeline plan of more than 100 lakh crore, which has been planned by the government, more than $1.5 trillion for that matter, I think is the whole mandate behind. And I think as far as the challenges are concerned, Ruchika, I would say political opposition or political resentment sometimes comes as obstruction. The bureaucracy and the political systems, they need to work hand in hand, because if we see the files not getting cleared on time, things getting delayed, I think the whole push to infrastructure gets delayed and it takes years and years where it should take a few months and so on. So we heard the government saying that what used to take years now takes a month to clear. So I think that was the whole idea of Gati Shakti. But commenting generally on the whole infrastructure push which the government of India has committed itself into, I would say that any country, when it has to be a developed country or when it has to be getting a tag of a developed country, I think the very first thing that you need to have there, social security, there are so many things which we count a developed country as be having or be characterized with. The very first thing which you need to look at is a solid infrastructure. You land in a foreign country, you see neat and clean roads, very well organized airports, ports, railway stations. The railway stations look like airports, the bus stations, everything is very neatly organized. It is clean. There are facilities provided for everything. This is what we call as a developed country. And I think India is heading in that direction, although we are some distance away from achieving that, because 60 to 70% of our population still stays in rural areas where there's a lot of infrastructure work to be done. But then I think a very good beginning has been made, in my opinion. And I think this will take the country forward into that realm where we can be called as a developed country in, let's say, next 20, 25 years. And which is why I think Prime Minister has put this 25 years vision. And another reason why 25 years vision has been put is because India will turn 100 in the year 2047. That is why a kind of a block of 25 years has been taken, where the world can see when India turns 100, India must be a developed economy at that time. I think that is the vision from which Prime Minister was probably coming from. That is the vision he's looking at, that at India at 100 should be a developed country. India at 100 should not be a developing country. So from an emerging economy, we reach the status of a developed country. And I think that is where the whole vision lies. And infrastructure, as you rightly said, is going to play a very, very key role in that, because unless we are strong on infrastructure, it will be very hard to be tagging ourselves as a developed country.
Very well summed up the entire address of PM at the Davos agenda on Monday. We obviously are on a good path. There are silver linings of hope even through this pandemic. And hopefully, as you said, India will chart its course and the long-term vision will be achieved, where India will not just be a developing country, but a developed country. Thank you so much, Mr. Kohli, for joining us.
You were listening to a discussion on Prime Minister's message at the World Economic Forum in Davos, India and Global Supply Chains. The participants were Sharad Kohli, economic analyst, and Ruchika Chitravanshi, journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of All India Radio. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may email your opinion about this program at airnsdtalks@gmail.com.